Today, as on all the annual holy days, we will be taking up an offering. I think most of us are very familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 16. But let's just turn there just to remind ourselves. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Where we read about, three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So it's referring to bringing offerings to God in the three holy day seasons. Of course, there are seven annual holy days, but they all fall within these three seasons, and these are the days that we traditionally take up an offering. Probably most of you here as well are also aware that for a number of years in the British Isles, the policy was established that the holy day offerings will be dedicated specifically to preaching the gospel. And that is a policy that still stands. Now, of course, we as a church can preach the gospel, and we as individuals can set an example to those around us. But I think also we understand that it's God that does the actual calling. We read this in the epistle of John, the Gospel of John, rather. John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 44. The words of Jesus Christ. John 6 verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So our preaching the gospel and our personal example will make little difference, really, if God isn't calling a particular person. As I said, the money that we put in the offering today will be used to preach the gospel to others. So that's one way that the message gets out to other people. So you could say that that's part of our responsibility to do our part as we're able. However, it's not just finance. There are other ways in which we personally can help to show people the way of life that God wants us to live. And the main way that we can influence others is by our personal example. One reason we came to Sabbath services is to learn more of God's ways. But it's not just a case of learning. We need to learn them, sure, but we also need to put them into practice, to be living by the principles that we see given in the pages of the Bible. And it's this aspect that I want to look at briefly today, because it's a vital aspect in a Christian's life. The aspect that our personal example does affect others. We understand, as I've just read, that it's God that does the calling, but we can help or hinder that calling by the example that we set. We don't know just how much God will use our personal example to be a witness to others, or indeed to call others. But our example does count. It can be good, it can be bad. But good or bad, it's sometimes surprising to see how other people do notice. They pick up on the example we may give, especially when they know that we have certain beliefs that maybe they too are interested in. I wanted this afternoon to go through a few examples that have occurred in my own life. I'm sure they are by no means unique. Anyone that's been in the church for any length of time will no doubt have experiences of their own, incidents which may have influenced others, and incidents which maybe they themselves have been influenced by. Our example may, unknown to us, have a big influence on a person. When I first started looking into the Bible, there was one friend that I talked to quite a bit about what I was finding in the Bible, and surprisingly, he didn't actually think I'd gone crazy. You know, he listened. We discussed things quite a bit. When I started attending services, he said about coming too. Now, this was a few years ago, and it was a definite church policy at that time that a person didn't just turn up at services. They had to be invited. Well, I didn't fully understand that, and, well, I invited him. I'd been a few times myself. And he did somehow get under the wire You know, he missed the roving deacons, you know. And he attended services in London a few times. But he only came a few times, and then he stopped, and I thought, well, that was the end of it. In the mid-1970s, he emigrated, and I lost touch with him. Unknown to me, maybe a year or so later, after he'd emigrated, of his own volition, he made contact with the church, was eventually baptized. When the problems with our former affiliation occurred in the mid-90s, he left and he joined the United Church of God. And it was only about 10 years ago that I discovered that this had happened when my friend contacted me again. You know, God had called him, and I'd like to think that my rather imperfect example did have some positive effect on him. Maybe it didn't. Maybe that's why he put it off for a few years, but hopefully it was a positive effect. But it's not just people that you know that you may affect. I used to work some years ago in Portsmouth. Just outside my workplace, there was a small local branch of a bank that I used to go. I used to go there, take out money, pay bills. And there was only maybe 3 staff there. One day at church, there was a new person. I went to speak to him. He said, "I know you. You often come into my bank." And I realised he was one of the cashiers that had served me at the bank. The only problem was my main memory of him was the time I wanted to get money out, and he was being completely awkward, to my mind, in wanting different sorts of identification. This is a few years back. You didn't just have a card. Oh, that was it. You know, put in PIN number. And he was really insisting this, that, and the other. And I remember feeling quite annoyed, but I felt I hadn't let it show. Hopefully I didn't. It's at times like that, really, that you sort of feel happy that you've at least only been neutral rather than a negative influence to someone. That's it, you never know. You never know just what is going to happen. Because a person's example, especially if it's a bad example, is memorable. It sticks in your mind, particularly if it's a church person. About 20 years ago, I was driving to work, minding my own business, going down a hill on a 2-way minor road. Car was coming up the hill. Then a white van pulled out from behind it and began overtaking it rather slowly. Well, you know, you expect white van men to be bad drivers, don't you? Well, I had to brake fairly sharply to give the van time to get past. But it was a driving incident, but then I saw, as it went by, it was being driven by a lady that I saw every week at church. And, it's an incident that I normally would have forgotten, wouldn't have thought about it. It happened probably hundreds of times over the years. But because it was a church person, suddenly it had been very memorable. It hadn't been that dangerous because it's just the fact I knew the person. In fact, the lady's husband phoned me up that evening. He had been sitting next to her in the van, and he apologised. He explained that they had a big load in the van. She went to overtake, hadn't realised the performance would be slowed so much. Put foot down, not much happened. And I haven't seen this couple for maybe 15 years now, but whenever I think of them, this little incident always comes to mind. Now, that was fairly simple, fairly minor driving error. But how about something that has spiritual overtones? How much more are you going to remember it? Going back to when I first started attending church in London, there was an older member there who used to sell honey and biscuits to other members. Honey was, I think it must have been organic. I wasn't too much into organic then, actually. And 45 years ago, it was very difficult to buy biscuits that didn't contain some sort of animal fat. So there was a definite demand for biscuits that were properly vegetarian. Anyway, it was midwinter, and the sun would arrive soon after services finished. And then, sunset, he would go out to his car. Anyone that wanted to come out and buy their honey and biscuits. I went a couple of times with various other members to buy my organic honey and my fat-free biscuits. About the third week, of doing this. He next is off to the car to sell the honey. I looked at the time. I thought, yeah, it's not sunset yet. It was about 15 minutes before sunset. Now, I was rather concerned about this, but everyone else seemed happy enough. They went trooping out. I wasn't sure why they were unconcerned, so I began to sort of reason around. Well, had I got sunset time wrong? You begin to think other things. I was very new to the church. Maybe it's okay to sell to other church members on the Sabbath. You know, as a new member, you sort of have these different thoughts. We went outside, and he was selling the stuff, and I said nothing. I wasn't going to tell him anything. He'd long-term member. I bought my honey, I bought my biscuits, and I thought, well, let's check sunset when I get home. Got home, and I was right. It was at least 10 minutes before sunset. So I decided if he did this again, well, you know, I'm not going to buy anything. But of course, he didn't actually do it again. Next week, it was after sunset when he went out, when the honey came out, the biscuits came out. And as the evenings drew out, so he stopped selling them until the next year. In hindsight, I am sure the person didn't deliberately sell on the Sabbath. I'm sure it was a mistake. Maybe he was thinking sunset of last week. But no one said a word to him. Maybe he never even realised it. I certainly wasn't going to tell him this. I'd been coming, five, six times. The point I'm making is that 45 years later, down the line, if that incident hadn't happened, I doubt very much if I even remember that I used to buy honey and biscuits sometimes in London church in the afternoon in the late 60s. I mean, why would I remember that? I probably only did it half a dozen times. But because of this incident, an actual breaking of the Sabbath, even though I'm sure it was accidental, it became very memorable to me. I was very much a novice, but here was someone that I'd assumed had been attending for years. He's at least 30 years older than me. And as far as I could see, he was selling on the Sabbath. So, our example is very important. It will be noticed by others. Hopefully, it's noticed because it's a good example. But if it's a bad example, it will be even more remembered. So as I said at the beginning of the sermon, our personal example does affect others. We can influence others by our personal example. So it is important that we always do give a positive example. Of course, another essential way to reach others is through the work of the church. As I mentioned, funds put into the offering today, as in all the holy days, will be used to preach the gospel to others. We as individuals can help expand the message going out to the people in the British Isles. So we all have the privilege of God's calling. So let's help to share the truth and the hope that we have with others in a world that so desperately does need this message.